Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to meet with you today. We thank you that you've written down your words in the Bible and that we can read them and we can understand and get to know you and what you are about. We thank you that we can talk to you in prayer, and we just ask your blessing tonight and that you would help our hearts to understand what it is that you would have us hear. Give me the words to say and help me to not say anything that's untruthful. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I mentioned that we're continuing in that same passage of Hebrews we were looking at last week that was talking about how faith can help us to overcome. We were seeing that it talks a lot about some of the amazing things that some people in the Bible were able to do by faith. But then oddly, it actually flips to the other side and starts talking about all this suffering and some of the things that faith helped people endure. So we're going to continue into that portion of the passage, and we're going to dig into that tonight. So we'll read that now. So we're in Hebrews 11. So it continues on about halfway through. So women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was just not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So, it seems a very different focus from last week. It seems rather dramatic, really, doesn't it? We see these bold, amazing things that people were doing with, you know, destroying armies and knocking down walls, you know, with their faith in God. And then all of a sudden, we shift gears into talking about some really nasty things. All right, it talks about people being stoned, sawn in two, and slain with a sword. What we're seeing here is that faith comes at a cost. I think the author of Hebrews is pointing out that there's a bit of a balanced approach here. You know, that they're demonstrating that there can be a real peace and joy when we have faith, but there can also be a cost. All right, it's not just all rosy. So throughout the history of the Bible, there's been cases of people murdered for their faith. There's been cases of people, as we saw, being sawn in two and imprisoned and killed for their faith. And I think the author of the book is just trying to say that faith can come at a cost. And I guess tonight I want to make sure we've been talking a lot about, love and the love that God had for everyone in sending his son Jesus. You know, we talked about forgiveness and how Jesus offers forgiveness for all those that ask of him. We've talked about relationship, how we as creatures created by God can have a relationship with our Creator. But I want you to get a balanced feel that there can be a cost sometimes here. Well, all times, all right? At times it can sound too good to be true, but there can be a cost, or there is a cost. So tonight we're going to have a look at a few people for whom there was a cost, and then have a think about what that means for us today and what the cost might be in our lives if we choose to follow Jesus. So we're going to briefly have a look at some people who paid a cost for following God. One of the very first people was actually Abel. To not put Cain up there, apologies. But the story of Cain and Abel, all right, we talked about this many weeks ago, right? There's these two brothers. These are the first people. God created Adam and Eve, and the first children he had was Cain and Abel. And what happens is these two sons go to God and present these sacrifices to God, saying, "Here, you know, does this please you, God?" And what happens is God is pleased by what Abel brings forward, and he's not pleased by what Cain brings forward. So what happens is Cain, instead of going, "Oh, my bad, I'll do better next time," right, Cain takes revenge on Abel, on his brother. So Abel was actually the one who died, not Cain. Right? He took revenge on Abel, okay, for Abel's sacrifice being acceptable to God. He was jealous. And the fact that God liked what his brother had brought forward, Abel's sacrifice, and He was so jealous that he killed his brother. Now, Abel didn't do anything bad, but he was hated by Cain because, you know, he had this thing with God where, you know, and what this meant is that Abel's faith cost him his life. Another character we see in the Bible is John the Baptist. Okay, again, some of you may have heard of him. He was a prophet from God who came to make the way for Jesus. He was sort of letting everyone know, hey, you know, Jesus is coming. Now, he preached that people should turn away from their disobedience to God and wait for this Messiah. So Jesus actually came while John was alive. Okay, so we see some interaction at the time there. Now, there was a Roman appointed king of the Jews called Herod. So he's the king there at the time, and this guy went on to marry his own sister-in-law. All right, a little bit weird. Now, John was pretty influential at this time, and his opinion mattered a lot. So when he started expressing disapproval of the king's divorce, because the king sort of divorced his old man and said, no, I want to marry my sister-in-law. He's going, hey, that's not the way things are meant to be. It's not the way God says things should be. All right, and because, you know, his opinion mattered a lot, and people were like, yeah, this John's a really spiritual guy. We really like what he has to say. Herod says, well, I can't have him saying bad things about me. You know, he's telling me that God's not happy with what I'm doing. So he throws John in prison. And later on, he actually goes and beheads John, right? Chops his head off. So John was murdered for making a stand for his faith. The king hated the moral standing that God had commanded, saying, this is the way it is, marriage is permanent, you know, and he's gone and done his own thing, and John said, this is not right. All right, so he was murdered for his faith. So John's faith also cost him his life. Another one we see briefly, this is the last one we'll look at, is a guy called Stephen. So this was a guy who was out just telling people about his faith one day. He was pointing out how, in particular, there were a certain group of people who had actually put Jesus, the Son of God, to death. And then he's telling people about how he had risen in 3 days. And he accused these particular people of resisting the very thing that God had been trying to tell them for generations, saying, hey, I'm coming, this Messiah is going to be coming, I'm going to provide a way for you to be right with God. And they didn't like it when he was telling them these things and saying, you're not even listening to what God is saying. The Bible actually says they were cut to the heart. All right? And I know my instinct to see that was like, oh, does that mean they were like convicted? No, it actually meant they were totally enraged. They were like, how dare you accuse us that we are not right? How dare you say that our life is not, you know, holy and right and we're doing the right thing? It's interesting, Jesus himself had actually condemned these exact same people while he was here, saying, you think that your life is right, but it's not. And so when Stephen says, remember what Jesus said, you guys have missed the point, they took it out on him and they took him out of the town and stoned him to death. Again, these men didn't like being told that they were wrong and that they'd missed the point. So Stephen's faith also cost him his life. Now, since Bible times, there's been millions of people who have lost their life for their faith. This year alone, there's been thousands of Christians murdered for their faith. There are Christians in Iraq, Kenya, Africa, and many other places being slaughtered every day for their belief in Jesus. A study last year actually put the number at 151 different countries. It's quite a few. Don't actually know how many countries there are in the world, but 151 sounds like a lot to me. Again, this is not because they did anything in particular, it's because of what they believe, of the faith they had in Jesus. Now, I know in Australia that can seem pretty hard to understand. We seem to have a freedom of religion here. So let's ask the question, what is the cost of faith in our society today? Perhaps it won't cost us our lives physically, but there can be other costs. Now, an interesting thing to point out as a side point, that in countries where these people are persecuted, Christianity is growing at an incredible rate, which I find interesting, that when their lives are persecuted, saying, you know, you can't believe this, you know, you can see that God's working in people's hearts, because Christianity, for instance, is the biggest growing religion throughout China. And as they're going and burning all these churches in China and taking down the crosses, it's spreading like wildfire. And it's interesting that here in Australia, where we have for the most part, a freedom to believe what we want, that Christianity is on a little bit of a downfall. I find that interesting. I don't quite know why there. So perhaps in Australia it might not cost us our lives physically, but I think there are other costs. The verse we read at the beginning actually starts with saying that still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. So then it starts with this trials of mockings, all right? So I think these days it's pretty safe to say, yeah, quite ridiculed for being religious, whatever form that might take. Most people would say, how ridiculous that you'd believe in a religion, all that garbage. Now, I can respect their opinion, but personally, when I look around and I see the complexity of creation, when I see the complexity of life, and, you know, just this past week we got a scan for my little baby that's going to be born in a couple of months, and when you see, like, all the bones, how they're already growing, and it's like this mini human that's only this big, and you see all the bones so intricately built, when you see the way that that's all woven together and the way that creation, we look at, you know, a snowflake and all this sort of stuff, when I see these things, I just, man, I got respect for the faith of the rest of the world that can ignore that and say, no, you know, we might not have to understand things, science doesn't know how that happens, but I'm going to believe in that. So personally, I just don't have that much faith. I find it easier to believe that there is a God that created everything, okay, and that he's in charge, because it seems to fit all the tick boxes for me. You know, for me, it doesn't take a lot of faith to believe in that. But anyway, my point is that for a country that has religious freedom, we're becoming more and more hostile to religion. You know, we're not just talking about Muslim terrorists. I think most people would agree that, that's not all Muslims. We should, you know, be tolerant and we understand that it's a religion of peace. People say this, but Christians, on the other hand, they're just pedophiles and corrupted money machines. All right? That's the word that goes out there. Now, I'm not going to excuse some of the things that people have done in the name of Christianity, but maybe you have, but I've never heard someone say, look, most Christians aren't like that. They're actually, most of them are pretty nice people. There's just a minority who the rest don't agree with. I've never heard that. Maybe it's out there. So I want to say that your freedom of religion, all right, your right to believe in Jesus does come at a cost. If you choose to follow Jesus, it comes at a cost. People don't like the message of Jesus. Jesus said himself, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember that the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. All right, so it says that this is going to happen, and he actually goes on to explain why. He says, but all this has happened, all this hatred of Jesus and of Christians, this happened so that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. So just like in the time of Stephen, when he told those religious guys that they weren't actually nice people and that they had it all wrong, people today do not like being told that they're not perfect. Right? People don't like Jesus' message today. When Jesus tells them that they're not right with God and that they need to turn away from the rebellious life they're living, people don't like that. I've got freedom to do whatever I want. So if you believe in Jesus, you may be ridiculed, you may be laughed at. In some countries, it could even cost you your life. Now, if you've looked at what we've been saying for the last few weeks, you just have to weigh up this thing and say, is the cost worth it? Okay? You know, and I think it's interesting, as I said before, that when we see countries when the cost is higher, more and more people are making this decision. When the cost is lower, like being ridiculed, we're less likely to make a decision. And I think that's interesting, but there is a cost there. I will say that Jesus does know what you're going through. As we read earlier, they hated him first. So he's no stranger to this. So when, you know, if you're in that boat, you know, let's say you're, you know, if you're a Christian and, you know the peace of a relationship with your Creator, but you sometimes cop it at work. Perhaps people laugh at you and they think you're gullible and silly. Perhaps you work in a, and I know in places that I've worked that are often more highly educated people, they will scoff at you for when you talk about the Bible and you talk about Jesus and you talk about religion. I just think how ridiculous that is. And I want to encourage you that Jesus said that this is going to happen. And if they could see what you see, if they knew the freedom that you have, they wouldn't be laughing. They would be envious. Jesus goes on to promise at the end there that he will reward you in heaven. He says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." All right, so this is nothing really new. We're seeing it over then. So again, if you've made a stand for your religion and you're seeing this, I want to encourage you that this is going to happen and there is a reward there for you, and Jesus promises to help you through that. Now, if you're not a Christian, if this all sounds like a bit of a turn off, man, why would anyone want to be a Christian? You get laughed and scoffed at. If you're in another country, you know, get murdered for your faith. I can say that I think it's truly worth it. The feeling that you have inside you, that longing for something that you just don't know what, when you get yourself in trouble and deep down you just feel this is not right, like there's something not right here, this constant burden of guilt that lays on you, the freedom of having that taken away, the release of all those things grabbing at you is really amazing. There is a God who loves you. Your Creator does want to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you. He's written it down in the Bible, and millions of Christians have known what it means to know God. There is a cost, but it is worth it. And if it all just sounds a little bit wacky to you, I challenge you to at least investigate it. All right, if it turns out that what the Bible says is true, it could have significance for a long time to come, for eternity. That means forever. Okay? And if it all means nothing, it hasn't cost you anything. Christianity isn't about money. It's not about giving. It's about a relationship with a God who created you. So I challenge you to investigate Jesus' claims. And I think you'll find that you won't be disappointed. Amen.